This is Shannon.
And this is Kamani.
And welcome to Drink with Blurbs,
where we are reminiscing about our prom days and how old we've gotten in the past 8 years.
Like, today is Tulsa for Orange High.
And this is Thursday, May 17th, we're recording.
And, like, I was just driving past, trying to pick up Kamani, and I'm like, oh, it's Tulsa. So, me and Kamani parked up and just walked down, and we saw some dresses, some nice shoes. Big cars and
no limos, which is weird because, like, when we were growing up, limo was the move. Like, right. Everyone got a, like, you would try to get a limo.
How much of us was in there?
It was like 100 something a person.
Yeah,
it wasn't terribly expensive.
It was like 6 to 8 people in there.
Yeah, it was, yeah, 6 to 8. Yeah, it was 8 of us.
8
because me and you, and Shaniqua and Terrell.
And then I remember Dale Ronald, on her date.
Yeah, and Ronald and
Ronald
Jasmine.
Was with us too. Yeah, I remember Jasmine was with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was her who
she got organized.
Wanted, yeah, right. She organized the limo.
But, like, other people had limos too. So, mm-hmm. But, like, now, and then also, like, just these dresses and these outfits. I'm like, is this the Oscars? Is this
like I got my dress at what, Group USA? Like, these are, like, really, like, perfected dresses.
Yeah. Like, there was someone had a weighted hem. I'm just like, what?
The cape, though.
Oh, yeah. That he had, like a matador. This dude had, a cape looking like a matador.
I didn't like it.
And then there was the African couple that was coming down the paint. They looked nice.
I think they were, like, the best that I've seen.
They were really nice.
Real cute. Like a rosy pink and gold. Cute.
That's today. Mm-hmm. How has your week been otherwise?
I just felt like I just worked and went to sleep, and that was it for the whole week. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, I don't remember doing anything special.
Yeah, karate was canceled today, so I had nothing to do this morning. I actually had a migraine, so. And since I'm a morning person, my morning was lost, and I just bummed around all day.
Yeah.
But did you see, so one of the things that we talked about last episode, and we were just talking about this before the episode started, was this cookout. Cookout Becky or Barbecue Becky or Karen, whatever.
Stop.
Susan, and, like, the meme that came out of it. And for all of you that probably don't, if you don't know, I don't know what you've been doing, but the woman that called on that Oakland family that was barbecuing, that was grilling, and then so the internet being the internet made it into a viral meme that's all been going on. She's literally in everything.
Black internet.
Like, from church ones to, like, the sipping. What's the one in Atlanta called? The sipping one with the naked people.
Wait, what?
It's called. It has a special name.
The sipping. Sipping paint.
But it's not like it's the sipping paint, but with the naked dudes.
I didn't know they called it a different name.
Yeah. Whatever. But she's in that one. Just all and, like, historical photos, like,
right.
Telling
even
about
got
Luther
the
King.
Black dude, like, she took my spot. Like,
oh, yeah, the black, and then, like, that black guy that came out in Ferguson played it. Well, all 20,
he's still iconic.
Yeah, this is my promise to you all. Summer 2018 is our chance to get revenge, especially y'all that living in these gentrifying neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You know what they like? Listen, I was coming home on Monday from Maplewood, and this dude I've never seen before had his dog, and his dog started peeing on the fence of the church. He pulled it away, but I was just about to be like, "Excuse me, officer, is someone, like, defacing this church property? I've never seen it before. Can we get an officer out? I just feel really unsafe."
Yeah, and I just feel like there's so many calls that happen, like. Shopping while black, eating while black, going in your house while black.
Right, there was the one about the realtor that happened this week. Did you see this one?
Mm-mm.
He was, like, a real estate agent, and he was inspecting a house to fix it up, and of course, a woman called the police on him.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were these women doing, this wasn't called, but, like, she was doing, like, community service on the highway, and then the cops stopped them, saying, "What are you doing?"
Like, the one that really struck me the most was the one with Nordstrom Rack. Because, like, I shop out of there.
Wait, which one?
Nordstrom Rack. Where, like, it was two boys shopping for prom, I think.
Mm.
And, like, the cops was called on them. I'm like, yo, I just went in your store and buy shoes, like, the same day. to find out like someone got like, come on now.
Also, I don't know if you heard, well, I showed it to you, that young boy that was kidnapped by white supremacists in Houston and basically tortured, and he only got to escape when they went into like the next door and was loading a gun. Yeah. So I'm so like, yeah.
That's very traumatizing.
Huh? That's like, and yeah, for someone that's like 13 or 12 or something. Like, he's super young and he had to go through that. And it's just not fair. Well, he didn't do anything.
Was he like 10 or something like that? Let me see. He was like really young.
Yeah, let me pull it up. It's like really distressing. Because then you think about, you hear those stories as a parent. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's 13. And he was kidnapped getting off the bus in Houston.
Can't do nothing.
No, right. And then there was this other story of this woman and her son in upstate New York getting run off the road by a racist. Yeah. So as much as people say, like, 2018, we're moving on, stop talking about race and all this crap. Mm-hmm. No.
I feel like we could kind of, like, talk about how all this stuff does affect our mental. And this is Mental Awareness Month. Yeah. And I didn't know that April was like National Minority Health Awareness Month. Like, I didn't know like we had like our own month for that.
Hey, we gotta be different because it's special.
Yeah.
We're dealing with our own like intersections of being like black or people of color in a white supremacist world. So
yeah, like, it's a lot to deal with. And then like you wake up, you walk outside and you're thinking like, well, I hope I don't get pulled over today. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, I hope when I walk into the store that it don't stare me down. And like, I get that a lot. I'm like, look, I could afford it at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's even, and I've talked about this before and with other people, like even when I go to the city, there's this constant, like, clutching of the purses or the fact that I feel like I need to speed walk ahead of white people so that they don't think I'm trying to rob them.
Right.
I remember one time, like a few weeks ago, it was like the most ridiculous thing ever. I was on the telephone and I had my boot sneakers on and it was like 8 p.m. and there were like over, like, it was on 6th Avenue in the city. So many people were around. This woman, like, pulls up and grabs her purse and, like, oh, my gosh. Like, not like, oh, my gosh, but you could tell that she's by.
I mean, I grab my purse regardless.
Right.
I just can't, like, deal with too much people.
Well, so that's different if you automatically are clutching your purse than if you have this reaction, you see this black guy behind you. And then if it's
Do they even realize like how racist they could be? Like, just doing that is just so like it does something to you. Because like you've experienced it many times. Mm-hmm. You walking down your own block and people running away.
Right, new people.
Exactly. You haven't been living here long.
I've been here my entire life, and yeah, but that's like a thing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of also want to bring this in. It's kind of related to mental health. Do you know the Royal Reddings? This episode will air after the Royal Redding happens, right? Mm-hmm. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
Right.
And it's kind of funny that her white side of the family is the one acting up.
Oh.
You didn't hear, like, her father, like, staged paparazzi photos and all this stuff.
I don't know what side of, you know, of her family it was, but I did hear, like, her family was, like, blowing things, like, out of proportion, kind of.
The sister and the father.
Oh, I didn't know it was the white
side. And, like, it's kind of, and I know people talk about this, and it kind of also relates to, we've talked about it before. Like, she is a biracial woman, right? Mm-hmm. And people keep putting on this stuff that she has to, like oh, she can't be black because she's not, like, really out here fighting for us, or she doesn't claim to be black. Or she's not, but then you see, like, these races in London, like, saying, like, oh, or the UK, like, oh, you're contaminating the stock, the royal stock. So you have, like, these people, and this is, like, a throat throughout the last 500 years, people that are mixed race. Mm-hmm. They're, like, forced to, like, choose, like, which side do I identify with? And it kind of also deals with this kind of, like, no man's land, I feel like. So I think if we're talking about mental health awareness, we talk about, mention that as well.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, in the last episode, we kind of also mentioned, when we were talking about, like, high school slights and stuff like this, people were feeling like, oh, this person didn't date me because of this.
Yeah.
That's something a therapist can help with. And I'm really interested to hear what your 10 facts about mental health for our episode.
Oh, yeah. So I did a little Google search, and I found these 10 facts about mental health. And I found them pretty interesting. And, you know, let me start with number one. They said that mental illness can happen to anyone, which, of course, we all know. But, like, they said that one and a half, like, women are 1.5 more likely to be diagnosed with what they have over men, which I kind of think, like, you know, men, the masculinity, mm-hmm. going to doctors, probably wouldn't, you know, want to think of that or deal with that stuff. So I could imagine more women doing that. But they have a percentage of who, like, by race, who has mental, like, illnesses. Mm-hmm. So American Indian, Alaska Native, 28.3%, Caucasian, 19.3%, African American, 18.6%, Hispanic, 16.3%, Asian, 13.9%, and I guess, like, it says two or more races, I'm guessing, like, a mixture, 20.7%. So, like, it seems pretty even, but when it comes to American Indian, it's much higher.
Well, you know they have high rates of alcoholism.
I do.
And this is the thing we never really talk about, like, American Indians that much, or Native Americans, mm-hmm. because we don't really have, how many have you met?
I know one, but, like, I guess he's, like, Native American, black, mixed with, like, other things, mm-hmm. but he claims it.
Right, so we don't even, so acknowledge, like, the land we stand on, it was someone else's land. Mm-hmm. Like, New York, New Jersey was Lenape land, and people don't even know that. And so imagine, like, being forced on these reservations, mm-hmm. forced, like, the Ramapo Indians in New Jersey are not even recognized.
Right.
So they don't really have land rights or any reservation
to
really
claim them. It's ridiculous. Like,
and they get treated bad by, like, the local people, mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, you're not a legitimate tribe. So, and I can't remember the place, but there's a place, I think, in one of the Dakotas. There's a high rate of alcoholism, and then mm-hmm. right off the side of the reservation, there's a liquor store.
Like, oh, wow.
Capitalist. Like, someone right? just like, and it's terrible, but that's kind of part of this thing when talking about mental health awareness, mm-hmm. that some people cope with, like, drugs or, like, even, like, anything in excess. So, right. drugs, alcohol. Even looking at how Jennifer Lewis was talking, you've heard her interviews about Mother of Black Hollywood, saying how she was dealing with her bipolar. Mm-hmm. She was coping with sex and everything like that.
Yeah.
So things like that to kind of dull the pain, but mm-hmm. continue.
For number two, serious mental illnesses occurs more often in minorities than in whites, which, of course, would make sense because as minorities, we go under much more stress than a white person.
Mm-hmm. And it's undiagnosed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't even, like, pretty much afford it, which is, like, the next point. Minorities have less access to quality health care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, how people... I feel like as a black person, a lot of us is born into stress or mm-hmm. born into a poor family. Like, we don't have that generational wealth mm-hmm. passed down to us. Like, we're in debt, like, mm-hmm. as of right now.
Right.
But we could barely afford to even go to the doctor for a physical, let alone right. mental health.
Mental health. And that's the thing that really sucks. Mm-hmm. Because if we had good health, if we had, like, universal health care, mm-hmm. at least people would be getting seen. Like, we wouldn't have the insurance problem. Mm-hmm. But because can you imagine how many people need to talk to somebody? Because so many... need to talk to somebody that's not, like, a pastor or a friend or something that is a professional that can be mm-hmm. like, oh, that's why you're thinking like that. And the reason I say that is because when I started, and I've mentioned this before, I've been going since January mm-hmm. To see a therapist. when I started seriously, I was kind of like scared and nervous because like all these things you're told about like, oh, if you see a therapist, you're kind of crazy. And like, oh, it kind of reflects bad on you. And I don't want anyone to know. And I still haven't told everybody. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this, you know. but it does, like having someone and hear like a neutral party hear me explain something. They're like, oh, no, that's, or like telling me that I have a lot of inclination to focus on the negative and be pessimistic, mm-hmm. which kind of affects my reality because right. it affects how I view the world. Because so
one thing, because that circled back to like being a black nerd.
Yeah, well, so that's kind of related. You and one thing my therapist said was like, you folk like say all these good things can happen to you, but because of just how, I don't know where it's, we're still trying to figure out where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. Say one bad thing happens to you,
right.
that bad thing will become magnified, and like the other three or five good things are like, oh. Mm-hmm. So even when I'm thinking like, oh, I don't want to be a failure, da da da, mm-hmm. and it's like, but when have you ever been like a failure? Is one of the
so
questions.
So it's more like you're think it's like an imbalance.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because it's like really critical. My uh-huh. like my inner voice is like, and that kind of creates. How do I say it? Feeds into a lot of things. So when we like I don't know, anxiety or like worry about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So you're focusing on the bad more than the good, or you're thinking that it's going to be so bad, but it's really not.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And I say all that to say, like, a lot of people don't have that access
yeah,
to
like,
that service.
Because this is something that you're realizing and going through and, like, okay, you're seeing at this point of age. You're like, okay, now I understand why I've thought like this or mm-hmm. felt this way.
Right. But, and it's not that it's easy to overcome, mm-hmm. but, like, at least having someone, like, check me on it, essentially. Like, why do you think, like, why is that? And it's like, I don't know. Then we start interrogating it. But because healthcare is so terrible here, people don't have, especially if you're poor, black, working mm-hmm. class, have kids, trying to survive, you don't have $150 if you don't have insurance to shove out for a session. Mm-hmm. $150 is groceries.
That's a lot.
A
of
car
money.
Payment, a tire. That's, but with my insurance, I only pay like $10.
Oh wow!
So it's like really good, mm-hmm. but that's not the case for most people.
Yeah, is that the school?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Did I say this one? Minorities access mental health care at a lower rate than whites. Yeah. mental illness begins early. Mm-hmm. So 1.5 of all mental illness is classified as able to be diagnosed by age 14, and 3/4 of mental illness is diagnosed by age 24, which makes early intervention and access to care crucial for successful treatment. Which I think is interesting because when I read it, I think of you. You're in the range,
right?
You know, talking things through, mm-hmm. not being exactly diagnosed with anything,
right.
but you're at least exploring thoughts and feelings that you had in the past or mm-hmm. things that you're going through now. Mm-hmm. But 14.
But yeah, like I think some of them, like schizophrenia, bipolar, they start emerging in like adolescence. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the resources again, like you see it plays a role in our lives as black people mm-hmm. because the cops will quickly shoot a mentally ill person. We've seen this time and time again when people are like, oh, then they have they're mentally ill or they mm-hmm. have mental health issues. And the cops still, and they're not a threat. The cops will still shoot them. Mm-hmm. So this does play a role in and like even thinking about quality care.
Yeah.
Like we don't have that kind of, if you don't have the access to like the medicine or like just the care, mm-hmm. and even if we step out beyond like the big like schizophrenia or bipolar, we have people that, let me see how to say this, like overwhelmed, just like, and like they're depressed, and but they don't know, like they're probably from an older generation, uh-huh. and they don't know how to process it, because.
Oh, I think this is a perfect time to bring up Willow Smith.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, you know, when we was talking about being diagnosed early, when she came out with
on the Red Table Talk.
Yeah, the Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett, her mother, and Willow. And it was just talking about, I think, loss in their life. Mm-hmm. And when Willow Smith was 10 years old, and she did Whip My Hair, she said she lost her sanity. Mm-hmm. Which I'm like, at the age of 10, mm-hmm. for you to even know that, to even feel that way, that's mm-hmm. pretty strong.
Right.
And she was saying that she went into like this deep kind of, I don't think she said depression, but it was more like a dark time in her life to where she was cutting herself. Mind you, she's 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And like, just the fact that it just starts so early.
But it didn't surprise me to hear that she said it was at 10, because when I was working with some middle school students, they were saying, oh yeah, it's a big thing at the middle school, Orange Middle.
What, cutting themselves?
Yeah.
I knew some people that used to cut themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
But like, when she explained it, like, she was like, she felt so bad, but like, there was nothing to express, or like she feels the pain, but there's no way to see it and visualize it. So like, in cutting it, it's kind of like,
I never understood it. Mm-hmm. I just like, if like, I'm depressed, my first thing is not to cut myself. Right. Because I'm like, I don't want to feel that type of pain. Like, but, I don't want to feel that physical pain.
But I think,
or see the blood.
So I think that's what I can't, again, speak for them. But yeah. I feel like for them, that's what they want to see. Because mm-hmm. they feel it internally. So, but like, I think what I read is by cutting yourself, it's like a release. Because mm-hmm. the pain is now manifested in the cut instead of internally.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah.
Huh. This one is interesting. Race and ethnicity. Ethnicity contribute to mental illness in the U.S.
Understatement of the year. Listen.
But look, they say, but not in the way you think. In fact, minorities in the United States face a social and economic environment of inequality that includes greater exposure to racism, discrimination, violence, and poverty. Always take a toll on mental health, which, yeah.
That's exactly what I thought. But, like, yeah.
I mean, why did it say, but not in the way you think?
Because they just, I don't know. Trying to be different. Yeah. Like, this is, like, and we started the episode by mentioning this. Mm-hmm. It is exactly that.
Oh, this is also evident in recent immigrants who experienced a rise in mental health issues the longer they are in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, because if you think for immigrants,
I mean, they're away from home.
Yeah, like, especially if you're don't have. So I don't know how my mother did it, because literally,
you have to be strong, like really strong.
Because my father at least had family here; she had no one, mm-hmm. and she would be at home with us, me, right. and my brother, and my sister. So that's why me and her are really close, because like, we've spent more time together. But like, she left her entire family in Jamaica. She was the first one to come up here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but like, I know other people, it's kind of hard. And especially like the winter, mm-hmm. It's kind of like really isolating when you're coming from like a warmer country.
Yeah.
And then to throw the race and ethnicity, or just poverty and working to survive, not working to have fun, like just working so you have a roof over your head. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot harder. And as you mentioned before, with like a lack of generational wealth, it just, mm-hmm. money in this country is golden. Like, right. Even if, like, say you're hungry in Jamaica, this could be like a mango tree somewhere you can go pick something off of, or something, you understand?
Yeah, it's a struggle over here.
So if you're like a black immigrant in the U.S., you don't have somewhere you don't have someone you can talk to, like, oh, mm-hmm. you'll find people, but it's kind of hard. You can't, like, depend on people, like, to feed you every day.
Right.
Even after, like, and I've seen this many times, people come up and everyone's like, oh, yeah, you're up here. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, people get tired of you. And they're like, you should figure it out by now. And you're still, like, adjusting, and you're adjusting to a new society, new rules, new expectations. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So combine that with the racial aspect. Yeah.
Yep. Want to go to the next point? Mm-hmm. Suicide causes more deaths in the U.S. than homicide. So approximately 90% of all of those who commit suicide suffer from mental illness. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for people ages 15 to 24, which I think that age range is really interesting because mm-hmm. I feel like you go through a lot yeah. in those ages. Like, you're in high school, then you graduate high school to go off to college, if you go to college. Then you're, like, working on your own. You're getting yourself into... It's, like, the gateway to the rest of your life.
Right.
Like, at this point, like, me at 25 versus me at 15 is completely mm-hmm. different. So, I mean...
How so?
I mean, well, I'm working, driving, bills, debt.
But aside from, like,
that. Credit. It's just... And it all has to deal with money. And that's mm-hmm. crazy. But it's just like, you know, I'm like trying to like venture out on my own, do my own things. I'm not uh-huh. dependent. So it's just, I feel like it's just during those times you're trying to figure out your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read somewhere else that like this is the time period when, like especially in adolescence, mm-hmm. it's a time where your personality is really like solidifying and forming and you're figuring out yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're going through a lot of these issues and not just like even with high school, it's just, and we were talking about this before, like mm-hmm. you hated high school for different reasons and I hated high school for other reasons.
Yeah.
It's like this weird space.
I was barely in class.
But like, and then I felt like I was so uncool and unpopular and I felt like that was something that was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no like social cred in high school. Then like people wanted stuff like that.
Did you think you had no social cred?
I did.
You did, come on. You had like a lot of people. Like,
well, see, again, this is the thing. This is my therapist. What my therapist says, like, me focusing on the people that didn't like me versus the people that did like me.
I'm telling you, a lot of people knew who Kamani was. Mm-hmm.
Okay, T. Next. that is an interesting point that you bring that up.
What?
Like that? I feel like.
Yeah, like. When we went to, look, side note, when we went to Tulsa, okay?
No!
I'm telling you, Kamani got the juice. So,
wait, you don't want to say it?
Huh?
You were going to say it or no?
I mean, I was going to say it. Do you want me to say it?
You can say it.
Or should I just
you...
be like, keep it real simple? All right, so there's this guy who works, I guess, in the school system. I never had him as like a sub.
Mm-hmm.
But
shout out to Miss Lamar.
Yeah, Kamani had him, and like once he saw Kamani, it's just like, oh my God, God bless you, Kamani. I love you. Like, you were Val Victorian in 2010. Like, it's 2018.
Almost a damn decade.
Right? And I'm just like, oh my God. So like there was like these two girls that walked past like in between, and he was like, this is Kamani Gibson. He graduated in 2010. He was valedictorian. I said, oh, shit. So come on, got that juice.
But
oh,
I was...
remember when we was on the when he was on that radio show.
The hell?
When we that day we was on Rutgers campus.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
And then the lady that you that let us in.
Donna?
Yeah, and she pulled you into that
Oh,
and she like
count.
Talks about you all the
time. She does not
she
count
talks about you.
But how many of my peers are out here to like talk about me?
Oh my God.
See?
I'm but people are talking.
Okay. Next point.
And it's always good things.
Well, that is true. And I guess that's the thing I still need to work on. Uh-huh. Like, because it's like nobody liked me. And then it's like, but they did. And, yeah.
For this next one. Does a mental illness and chronic pain go hand in hand with a statistically significant increase in the likelihood of developing one as a result of the other? I'm not sure what's going on here.
Well, I know like some people that are depressed, like they feel like physical pain or like affects their body in other ways. So maybe that's what it's getting at. All right. And
I feel like this one is a good one to get into. The stigma of mental illness prevents people from seeking or completing treatment.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Especially, you know, in the Black community.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of dismiss it.
Like, yeah. Well, so this is the thing. My mom used to tell me in Jamaica, back in, like, when she was growing up, if someone had mental illness, someone could, I don't know, you can get something like Milo or, like, something else.
Milo and what?
Like, I don't remember. It was Milo, and definitely Milo, and like some money probably to report that person. And then the authorities came and took that person away.
Oh.
So there was kind of like this incentive to like get rid of people. I don't know, but like there is this stigma like to get rid of these people from society. And like when we see it, like if we see someone and it like seem like they're mumbling to themselves, it's kind of like we would like, oh, scrunch up and like try to walk away from them. Because whatever, like just how we've been taught.
Right.
Yeah, but it is a big stigma. So if someone says like they have someone in their family and they have anxiety or depression, even those, it's like, like keep it hush hush. Much less one of the bigger ones.
Like it said, nearly 40% of people who are diagnosed with mental illness do not seek treatment or complete prescribed treatment due to the stigma associated with mental illness, especially in minority communities. 40% is big.
That's a big number.
That is big. Like scanning through the rest
of like for every 100 people, 40 people are not like, so you, and like that's not even saying the 60 are going regularly, the other, but there are 40 people that might have a problem that are just like not, and like, that leads them to cope in other ways like we've been talking about,
right?
Like drugs, alcohol,
yeah,
all these dangerous risky behaviors that put them more at risk. And have you, so I've seen someone talk about this, especially with like black men. Some of them are having like that have seen their friends get shot or whatever. It's like PTSD, and so they start doing all these other risky things, and they're not dealing with that trauma. What do you feel about that?
I feel like when it comes to like things like that, it's very understandable because I've seen people that go through different things and like they'll like drink to cope or do drugs to cope with it just to get their mind off of it. So it's just like, it's understandable, it's not healthy, but I get it. And like, what could you do as an individual to help someone that seen like their family member get shot? Like, what could you do?
I don't know. I think like our communities, especially like places like Orange and Newark and like East Orange, like we have a lot of issues because white supremacy fucked us up.
Yep.
So our towns are dealing with like deindustrialization and all this other crap, segregation and everything. So there's always this, and so when people talk about crime, they're like, "Oh, we gotta stop these criminals." There's never a discussion about like,
why are they doing it?
Why are they doing it? Like, what is like? How do we get to them? And it's a hard conversation to have because you have the respectable folks in town that are like, just being.
I feel like this is where we need to be more there for each other. Like, if you see someone like going through something, like just be there for them. Like, you don't have to like give money or do stuff, but just give them that support, like mentally. Like, hey, I'm here for you. If you need to talk. Talk to me. And like, I do that on Facebook. Like, if I see someone with like a depressing status, I'd be like, hey, like if you need someone to talk to, come to me. And like one of my friends did that, and like I definitely helped her out in different occasions. And I mean, just I think people just need to be a little more caring.
I think so too. I think especially when like these things are going through, if you're like dealing with them as a black person, and like we didn't even get into the masculinity component.
Yeah, and that's something we will have to bring up too.
Because to be a black, like one, black men don't even like going to the doctor because of the Tuskegee experiment and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and, like one to have someone like saying like going.
Oh,
to,
do you want
to
explain the Tuskegee?
Tuskegee experiment was when like these airmen, these black men were being experimented on in Tuskegee, Alabama, given syphilis and for years and just experimented on to see what happened. So there's just like a big distrust of medical institutions, which causes a lot of problems with like heart disease and people just getting sick. So much less something that's dealing with your mind.
And your mind is a powerful thing.
Right. So you don't want people like messing around in your head is what they say. Or
I mean, I feel like life messes around with your head.
But like it's But then I guess with how people internalize it and cope. Mm-hmm. So instead of like having to deal with like, this is the thing, you have all these people that are working like really hard, or like they're like traumatized from something that happened at their childhood, and then they're alcoholics.
Right.
And you never get to interrogate that, because like, that you use like, oh, they're just a drunkard, or they're just alcoholic, or they're just a crackhead, or just smoke weed all the time.
Yeah.
It's never this like, oh, they're probably dealing with seeing someone's head get blown up right in front of them. And like,
we that's issues that, like, let's face it, white people don't go through shit like that.
Right, right.
Like, you're not here selling drugs to feed your family, like, mm-hmm. as much as a black person in an urban area is doing.
Right.
They just don't go through the same shit, man.
Right.
Like, what are you depressed about? We got more shit to way more shit to be right. depressed about. But I'm not saying I'm dismissing them, but just like, we go through a lot.
Because you have to think about how this unique struggles of being black in the world.
Yeah.
And like, how that affects us.
It's like, like I said on Facebook, like I had like, I was like a bottle of wine and a half in, like, well, a bottle and a half in of wine. And I just throwing some music, and it was just only black women. That's all I wanted to hear. I feel like I said, I think on the last episode, black women don't really, like, we talk about our struggle, but people, I feel like it's just a little bit dismissed when it comes to the black man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, well, I'm gonna listen to somebody who I could relate to more. Like, there's a whole bunch of male artists and different type of music that's geared towards, you know, finding a woman, this and that. Let me, I want to relate to somebody that is me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like my night, and that was like my little self care method as well.
Do you want to go to the last point?
We don't have to. Not really. Do you want to read it?
Oh, well, it kind of makes sense. A collaborative, culturally sensitive approach to mental health care works best. And I think this is the thing, and we're going to talk about this in terms of finding it. Like, so if you do have insurance that can cover it, and you're black, for me, it was important to find, like, a black therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So there are resources that we'll recommend later. Because you do, and even though my therapist is African American, so I was explaining how it's different being an immigrant in some respects, like this kind of burden to like represent for your family and prove that you were worth the sacrifice of migrating here.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm really grateful that you told me that, because I never would have thought about that, but that really helps me in terms of how I approach clients in the future. So it's important to have like therapists that are open to that, and regardless of what it is, whether it's identity issues or whatever, like, because that's something we don't even talk about. Like, kids are going through stuff and they're like, I don't know who I am, or I don't know how, like, where I fit in society, whether it's sexuality or other ways.
That could be a topic,
right? Because
who am I?
Jesus, I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
But it is. You do have therapists. You need therapists that are culturally sensitive to different things. You don't need someone to say like, "Oh, just get over it," or like, "I don't get that. What? Black people do this or what?" Because then it's gonna be like, shut you down. Therapy should be a place, if you can like get to it, a place where you can be open and honest. And they're supposed to protect you unless you are going to be a danger to yourself or somewhere else. That's where the ethic, the line's drawn. But the other thing that I wanted to say, we have to talk about, like, since most of us can't afford therapy. Like, once this PhD is done, and if I don't have a job, it's going to be, like, back to me just feeling haggard and, like, wild.
And that's the thing where, like, going to college and stuff, I feel like it's like a 50-50 chance of you, even the percentage is a little less. Some people just don't find a job and they fail. Like, I don't know if y'all remember the guy I talked about that I hired at my job. And like, before he got to my job, he was like, you know, I've been applying and applying, and I haven't been able to find anything. Mind you, he's an accounting major as well.
No, but yeah, I think that's really, yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, we graduated the same time, we're the same age. I just so happened to find a job, but he's still working at where he works at now. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, well, damn, like, why is he not finding a job? He's very professional.
Right.
Like,
is it the tattoos?
No, he keeps them covered.
Oh, see. Because, you know, that's another thing. Like, if I had a full sleeve and mm-hmm. I went in for the same job as, like, a white guy with a full sleeve, it's more like he would get the job over me.
He definitely covers the, like, and he has two full sleeves. Mm-hmm. So it's just like he doesn't show that at all.
Even at work now?
No.
Wow.
And I just feel like we are conditioned to, like,
police ourselves.
Yeah, like, we have to have our hair in a certain way, dress a mm-hmm. certain way, things have to be covered. Like, when I was applying for jobs at one point, remember I had a piercing on mm-hmm. my face, I made it black, so it looked like it was a mole.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so, like, it didn't sparkle or anything. And it took, like, a year and a half for people to realize at my job that it was a piercing.
Wow.
It was like, why is that, what is that sticking out in your face? I'm like, oh, this is piercing. It fell out, like, what, sometime last year? So I don't have, like, the dot's still there.
Mm-hmm. But, well, one thing also I wanted to mention, like, this masculinity part in terms of, well, even, like, just in general, like, the stigma, mm-hmm. like, talking about it, what do you think people should do in terms of dealing with the mental health component?
Wait, say that again.
Oh, sorry.
I just got thrown off a little bit.
No, but, like, in terms of, like, so say you don't have, what was I saying? But, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, we had to cut for a second.
Yeah.
But, like, this, what do you think people should do in terms of talking to others and addressing these men? Because, like, let's be honest, not everyone's going to be able to see a therapist.
Mm, true.
And it's kind of a hard thing, because mm-hmm. you really should be able to have a professional. But what can we do to at least help each other be better? I feel like, well, one, if someone does, like, have a major mental health, like, it's really important to get them to see someone.
Mm-hmm.
One, because we don't need this kind of, we know that they have something wrong, but don't know what it is, and then the cops just get upset and then shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
As terrible as that sounds. So I would say, like, if you know there's something else, like, there shouldn't be a stigma.
Uh-huh.
People, it's like, and my sister and I talked about this. Like, if someone has heart disease or has cancer or something, like, we talk about getting treatment. Mm-hmm. But when it's mental health, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
So there's no shame in getting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we do with one another? Even if it's, like, something like feeling, like, overwhelmed or something like that.
I feel like as a person, as mm-hmm. people, we should research, mm-hmm. like, common mental illnesses like depression, schizophrenia, what else we have?
Anxiety.
We should research and, like, see what are the signs. Like, yeah. We can't, like, as a person, I can't treat someone with medicine, but at least what ways I can talk to them
mm-hmm.
to, like, at least try to make up for them not being able to get that help.
Right.
A professional help.
Right.
Yeah, I think we just have to research each other and mm-hmm. see, like, okay, well, this person's depressed, like, what things I could do to make their day or get their mind off of something, or mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have anything else you want to add to this episode?
I was going to talk about some self-care methods.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. What do you do for self-care?
I read comic books, watch TV, you know, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a massage in a minute.
Me too. Oh,
like,
my God.
But that's, like, one of my big things. It's, like, my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, but that's, like, pricey. So I'm like,
yeah, but, like, see, now, like, the summer's coming. I'm going to have to wait till my birthday to get it for myself. But, like, that was, like, a big thing for me. Just, like, stuff that's relaxing. Like, go to see a movie by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, unplug. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sushi. Like, I mean, look, simple stuff.
The world wears so much on a person that, like, mentally, you need a break.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, Sometimes I like to drink and dance.
Clubbing.
Yeah. I like to be on YouTube a lot. Like, I'm subscribed to so much people. I'm like a YouTube fan. What else I do? Massages are a thing. I'm trying to get a little bit more into meditating.
Me too. Like, I should do more of it.
I try to do like 5 minutes at least in the morning. Like if I get up, like if I'm like at home and like, because I have, I think, 4 alarms. Because I got to get up and that's real. I have a 6:30, a 7, a 7:30, and an 8. 8 means get the fuck up. Yeah. It is get ready. But the 7:30 is more like a, okay, you know, try to get up. But 8 is like, okay, get up. But the 6:30, I just made that one just for like, for those 30 minutes. Try to do something productive. Mm-hmm. So it's either like cleaning or 6:30 in the morning. Cleaning. Mm-hmm. maybe try to set up lunch for later, meditating, drawing, mm-hmm. play a little game, YouTube, just relax, like mm-hmm. before your day gets started.
Right.
What else do I do? I feel like shopping could be one, but that takes money. Yeah, and just chilling in the park. I think that's about it. Do you have any recommendations?
I do. So, in terms of self-care, like, Netflix is also a big one. So, mm-hmm. I finished watching Dear White People Season 2, and it's really great. I really think there's so many diverse, in terms of Black identities on that show, mm-hmm. in such a smart way, that I think it's a really great show. And there's also some kind of components about dealing with some mental health issues. Well, like, kind of, like, grief-related, because, you know, it's also a part. Like, people dealing with grief and that kind of. Also, I'm going to recommend Giants, the YouTube series, because there is a...
I'm about to say, not the team, because they stress me the fuck out.
Oh, see, I'm not even... After the Giants did that whole kumbaya hand-in-hand thing after Kaepernick knelt, I was done with them.
They could barely fucking win a game.
Last season was... I haven't been watching, but I know last season was terrible.
It was really bad.
Like, I'm like a diehard, like... Giants fan.
It's like I was raised a Giants fan.
But like then the whole NFL like blackballing Kaepernick came and I'm just like it's just gotta be my thing. Mm-hmm. But like Giants the TV series, there is definitely a mental health component and it's really great about how they deal with the character journey uh-huh. and dealing with her depression. So I think that's really great. Do you have any recommendations?
I think a few months ago I came across this website called Therapy for Black Girls and it's geared towards like black girls, black women, to find another black woman who's a therapist. So it's just like, okay, I'll go on the website as a black person, mm-hmm. and I go find the nearest black therapist near me. And it's really cool. Like, just actually like a few like in Montclair, but it's cool. So it's called therapyforblackgirls.com and if you want a black woman to be a therapist, this is the place you go. And I got every state. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's cool.
There's also the National Association for Black Psychologists, I think, which has a website. Uh-huh. And they have a breakdown per state. So that's also an option. You could also go on Psychology Today and like put in like African-American or Latino or like queer, LGBTQ, or whatever, mm-hmm. and like search it that way. So that's also a thing.
Yeah.
For those that are interested.
Like, I was looking at a few of the therapists on this website, and a lot of them deal with personal issues, and they deal with like health, like actual like physical health. Mm-hmm. Some deal with relationship, family therapy. Mm-hmm. So it's there for everybody, but right. like they geared it towards black girls.
Yeah.
But that's necessary. Anybody could go on there and check. Mm-hmm.
So before my battery runs out, we want to thank you all for listening to this important episode. This is like a really important, great episode that we've been thinking about for a while. Make sure to follow us on Facebook at Drinking With Blurreds, Twitter, Drinking W Blurreds, and our blog, drinkingwithblurreds.com. Tell a friend, tell a family member. Mm-hmm. Also, again, if you have any ideas for future shows, if you want to be a guest, message us. We're interested in having you in the office to talk and
if you have something to promote.
Right. If you have something to promote, you want to get some little bump in your sales or something, just bring us some swag and we good.
Yeah, like I'm good with a pen or a t-shirt.
Right. Yeah, right. Or some banana pudding or something.
Right.
Yeah, you see what I did there?
Yes. We definitely have to hit her up though.
Okay. But again,
and we could even interview her because, you know, she's been through a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know her that well, but I know of her story.
But, you know, she's coming up from Haiti. Right. And now she have two kids, and she's definitely, she's done a lot.
But thank you all for listening. Make sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Yeah, thanks. Bye. Mm-hmm.